Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. Political paralysis seems to have settled over Malaysia's government at a time when it needs to make tough decisions. As the COVID-19 public health crisis deepens and the emergency nears its promised end in August. But what options are available to political leaders? Let's ask a political anthropologist and consultant, Dr. Sophie Lemire. She's the editor of a book series titled Malaysian Politics and People. Good evening, Sophie. Thank you for joining us
on the
show tonight. Hi, I'm going to begin our conversation referencing your recent opinion piece in the South China Morning Post, which is titled, In Malaysia's Constant Crisis, Conditions Are Perfect for Muhyiddin the Politician. And in this article, Sophie, you make the argument that not only have people underestimated Muhyiddin Yassin, but that he has also used this to his advantage to deceive his adversaries and to exploit the weaknesses in a disorderly opposition. What's interesting to me, Sophie, is that this piece comes after that the statements by the palace and the rulers in which most people had taken to imply that the prime minister's options had narrowed. So the timing of your piece is quite interesting. And I'm just wondering, maybe you can help us understand why it is that you think you've made these assertions about Muhyiddin Yassin.
Thank you. Well, you know, I think that the question that we should really ask here is if Muhyiddin is really in danger. And I think that despite all the appearances and despite all the big hoo-ha that is happening on the political scene nowadays, is not that threatened. I think that we should look at, you know, like three factors. So first, of course, is can the king do more? I think the king and you know, my colleague who spoke earlier explained that really well. The king has been going already kind of on the far edge of the possibility that is given to him by the constitution. So some even argue that he's slightly outside of his prerogative. So I think the pressure that he has put is quite a high pressure, but he cannot really get much further than where we are now. Also, there is, you know, this complexity that the king is actually the one who, of course, appoints the prime minister, and he might be somehow reluctant as well to dismiss the one he appointed. So I think that rather than in the king's hand right now, the fate of this government would be rather in UMNO's hand. And we've seen that, you know, UMNO has been threatening of pulling out of the government, pulling now or not, and this is... this is actually kind of the element of danger that persists. And then, you know,
Go on, please go ahead.
The last element that we're looking at is really the incoherence of the opposition. And it's what I explained in this piece is that Muhyiddin has been smart enough to really take an advantage of that, of really get benefit from the cracks that have been showing over and over in this opposition that is kind of double-led, you know, or we're kind of getting lost a little bit. Who is leading this opposition because of the competition that subsists between Mahathir and Anwar?
Yeah, so in your piece, you actually allude to some very interesting rumors, one including the fact that the foreign minister might choose, Hishamuddin Hussein might choose to push himself forward as a replacement for Muhyiddin Yassin. But, I mean, that aside, most analysts have been concerned that what is actually an existential threat for the prime minister is, in fact, the convening of parliament. That's what he's trying to avoid, because when parliament convenes, his strength can be tested, that he is, in fact, now leading a minority government. What do you make of that argument?
Well, I think that we need to take another kind of perspective on this and a step back. So if the parliament reconvene, there is no, we're not sure that a no confident vote will be able to be tabled. The thing is that most probably the speaker would not, you know, it's not about this, whether the speaker would allow or not this no confidence vote to be tabled, but it's that all government affairs will take precedence over this kind of vote. So it would be extremely easy, I would say, for the speaker to delay this kind of vote. So actually the parliament can reconvene. It's not that of a threat for Muhyiddin at that point. And I think that, in fact, what the Prime Minister is trying to do right now is really to show a really strong hand. He's trying to portray, you know, as a strong man who is just, you know, choosing a direction that is maybe a controversial one, but he's still, you know, the captain of a very rocky boat, basically.
Right. Sophie, just to come back to something you said a little bit earlier about, you know, cracks in the opposition, but it's not just the opposition, it's also all the other major parties, UMNO and PAS. And you mentioned about the 14-day notice that was issued by UMNO to Perikatan Nasional to convene parliament. But, you know, that the irony is that there doesn't seem to be any kind of agreement within UMNO as to whether that was an ultimatum or what would happen, what consequences would happen if the Perikatan Nasional government doesn't comply. I mean, how does the disunity within UMNO play to the benefit of the government of the day?
Well, in the same way that the disunity in PH is helping the government of the day. So UMNO is failing to take a decision whether to pull out now or later. And anyway, the decision now is kind of rhetorical because pulling off now or in 6 weeks, it's just, you know, it's like, what is it going to change anyway? I think the 2 weeks notice is just a way for Zahid to buy a bit of time. So in 2 weeks, what? UMNO will reconvene, take a decision, and in 2 weeks, most probably, the Prime Minister will confirm that Parliament will be reopening, early September, and that the state of emergency will be lifted. And then, you know, the UMNO kind of threat will be completely cancelled. So it's kind of, I think, what Zahid, UMNO leader, want to do here, and of course led by Zahid, is more to show support to the king, to kind of, you know, keep this Malay traditional support, while Muhyiddin has actually kind of antagonized maybe this part of the electorate by showing, you know, this strong hand and this kind of like maintaining a strong position despite, you know, the king declaration and the ruler's declaration.
Sophie, in your opinion piece, you also quote the former Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir, and you seem to suggest that he still might be a player in the unfolding scenario. In your discussions with him recently, what did you discover?
Well, I met with Mahathir last Friday morning, and of course he's still a player. I mean, he's very vocal. It's true that, you know, his party now is only 4 seats in parliament, so one would expect that. I mean, one would think that it's not a major force, but the voice of Mahathir is still being listened quite a lot, enough to kind of disturb a little bit, you know, when needed. So I think the proposition that he made, I mean, nobody was surprised, you know, it's another proposition of Mahathir, kind of the same old, you know, he wants to come back to power. But then, you know, he has this voice that is still being heard and being respected. Most people do assume that he will not be able to come back to power anyway. But he has this experience that people are kind of seeking for advice from during time of chaos or crisis like we are facing now.
Sophia, if I can add on to that, I mean, one of the things that Mahathir does seem to have in terms of parliamentary numbers and the numbers game is his ability to reach out to parties in the Borneo territory, so in Sabah and Sarawak. Warisan seems to be much more willing to go along with Dr. Mahathir than they would, say, Anwar Ibrahim and Pakatan Harapan and GPS as well. So how do you see those two groupings of parliamentary forces, shaping the way in which Muhyiddin Yassin can play this game, at least in terms of his particular political survival?
Yes, we have seen, you know, that and it's been like intention to actually create a new coalition between Bejuang, Warisan, and even to include, of course, Muda. It has yet to materialize. We have not come to any clear conclusion regarding this. It is quite, it comes as a surprise to some people that Mahathir, despite, you know, the controversies that of his governance, in Borneo, in Sabah particularly, lately, still has some influence and attraction for a party like Barisan and a leader like Shafi. Mahathir has expressed very clearly that he would support Shafi as prime minister candidate, but he has, you know, given as well mixed messages regarding the kind of support he would give to other candidate as well to replace Muhyiddin Yassin, including himself. So all of this has yet to materialize. And again, it's one of the incoherence that we find, you know, or weakness that we find in the opposition, is that despite all the discussion, despite all the tremors, and despite, you know, this kind of wide gap that subsists in the opposition, because there is no credible alternative to this government. So a lot of people see, of course, this government as being ineffective, illegitimate, etc. But yet we do not have any solid alternative. So in some way, the government of the day is strong because the opposition is extremely weak.
Okay, so Sophie, what then happens? I mean, there seems to be this impasse, but in your article, you also argue that political impasse could be to the detriment of society and also the economy. What are you watching out for next? I mean, what are the short-term plays that you're going to be keeping an eye on?
Well, I think that we definitely need to still look at, you know, what Muhyiddin is going to do when the... I do believe that the state of emergency will be lifted as planned. We need to look at for what is he going to be doing, what is going to be his next move. Of course, again, you know, the parliament can be kind of maintained, even if the majority, you know, is by default. It is not... Having a non-confidence vote would be difficult. So it can be blocked easily, basically. So but then what Muhyiddin can do if he fails at being able to strengthen his majority is actually to open his cabinet to opposition members. Of course, it's something that maybe could cost as well some of the support, you know, in Pelicatan Nacional. What we see is you know, it's quite interesting, and it's what I was trying to say in this piece as well. It's kind of, you know, the revenge of a man, I mean, Muhyiddin Yassin, who's been, I think, for far too long underestimated as a politician, as he was always seen as the good number two. And while it turns out that, you know, despite all, you know, odds, the man is actually staying in power, despite the multiple crises, despite, you know, this chaos that we're all witnessing. I think the consequence of this situation is definitely an erosion of trust in institution and political leadership that really like emerge in the mind of all Malaysians. And I think this is the main problem of this situation. And if that doesn't resolve, then I'm actually quite worried about, you know, the electoral process to come. And of course, you know, the economic situation is suffering of this political chaos, and whatever, you know, the government might be saying, it is difficult for investment, it is difficult for economy to restart. So all of those elements are actually very tied to, you know, this kind of unknown and unseen political situation.
Right. Thank you so much, Sophie, for sharing your insights. That was political anthropologist Sophie Lemire wrapping up this episode of Consider This. Don't forget to get the latest news and information on COVID-19 vaccines at astroawani.com as well as the Astro Awani app. Thank you so much for watching the show tonight. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Stay safe, folks, and good night.
Good night.